want to see. Where's this video at?
Listen, Bueno, if you just want to watch dicks flopping around, there's websites for that that I'm sure you can.
And it's not this podcast, please.
It's not this podcast.
Yeah, I don't know how internet videos happen to me. There I am watching it. No idea how I got there.
The videos on TikTok where it's like a challenge, like people are working from home on Zoom and their like significant other comes behind the like camera naked. And so they just record their like reaction of like looking up but having to be like on Zoom.
Funny. Oh, funny. Oh, thank you, TikTok, for existing during this trying time.
I love TikTok.
Yeah, it's so fun.
I'm so buried in it. It's like, it really is a wormhole.
It's an addiction.
How did I end up here?
I know.
What day is it?
You're like rubbing your eyes like a casino. You step outside, you're like, what's happening?
There's no clocks. There's no windows. It's just like darkness.
No, I'm like struggling though too, because I had to take my nails off yesterday and it took like several hours to get them off, and now they all hurt.
Yep.
Like they're all super sensitive, and like I don't have like all first my nail polish is like several years old, so it like doesn't even work anymore.
You gotta clear coat them for like a month.
I know, that's all I'm gonna be able to do.
Oh yeah.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the weekly wind down. Womp womp. I wish I had hit record like 45 seconds before, though. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
And I'm Bueno.
Bueno.
Bueno. Bueno.
Bueno.
So, quarantine Jean is, I don't know, out and about tonight? Like,
not quarantine Jeaning? No.
She's free balling Jean? Yeah, I don't know. We don't know what she's doing. She's running amok.
I don't know. Apparently, she has friends other than us.
No,
ridiculous.
Rude.
Yeah.
I don't even understand that concept.
We're your only friends allowed on recording night. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, I am drinking the Walking Dead Blood Red Blend that Stacy brought to my house. It's very good. And themed for the apocalypse.
Nice. It's super good for just like a basic red blend, but
yeah, it's
kind of up there with Apothic to me.
I think it's better than Apothic. I said it.
Damn.
I said what I said.
Wow. I'm drinking a Pinot Grigio 2018 from Costco. It's called Van Rooten Family Vineyards out of Lodi. And it's actually really good. I'm not usually like a Pinot person, but I wanted something kind of lighter today. So it's actually really good.
I am drinking this Soleil Mimosa Classic canned mimosa that my boss was like, they have canned mimosas at Safeway, and made me go get it, and it's terrible, and I don't want to take any more sips of it.
Oh, really?
And then I took a sip of it out of the can, and I was like, oh god, I shouldn't have drank it out of the can. But it's been in my fridge for like several weeks.
Ooh.
So it's probably fine.
Sure.
Oh god.
It's fine. You're gonna be fine.
Everything's fine. We're all fine.
This is how
be
anxiety
fine.
Works, guys. Welcome.
Sorry.
Gross.
I'm drinking potato wine, Kettle One Botanical.
So we have about 9 minutes to get Aaron's stuff in.
Grapefruit and rose. Actually, it's fine because it's not nearly as high in alcohol content as like normal vodka. So we're okay. We're okay. We're going to be fine. And I'm only on drink two. We're good. No worries.
We're going to be fine. Don't worry, guys.
We'll make it out of this.
I'll get drunk, but it won't be that fast. Come on. It's very good. I've had the cucumber mint version of this. I think I did one time on here before. And this is delicious. I actually put some mint in it, too. Ooh. So it's cute. It's grapefruit, rose, and mint. I actually am really digging it.
Fancy.
Yeah, you know.
Oh. All right, so I am drinking a Carnivore Cabernet Sauvignon, and I thought it was funny because it's irony, since, again, not only is my name irony, but I'm a vegetarian, so drinking wine called Carnivore, and I'm not. It's delicious so far, but I'll tell you again in like 3 glasses if it's still good.
Usually it gets better.
I was going to say, it never gets worse.
True story.
Okay, so it's like I haven't been on here
Jean,
in 3 weeks.
What are you drinking, Jean?
Fuck off, Jean.
Text him.
Jean says, what'd she say she was doing tonight? She was going to sit outside, eat pizza, and drink beer since the weather coming in is bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Womp, womp.
Womp, I know. Womp.
I don't know if that's on the approved list of activities, Jean.
So, what'd you guys think of the Tiger Show?
Tiger King.
Okay, how did this group of gay hillbilly zoo owners that also do meth exist and no one knew about it? Because it's not like there's just one. There's like so many of them. Oh,
okay, network.
I take that back. They're not all gay, but they are almost all polygamists.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh. Yes. Which is like crazy.
It's so weird.
He's been around. The guy has been around for like a long time doing these videos and owning all these like big cats. So how come we've never heard of him?
I don't know.
We're not privy to this world, and I want to know why.
When they showed the clip of him on Last Week Tonight, I was like, oh yeah, I remember them mentioning him running for president.
Okay, hold on, guys. For the people that didn't watch it, including me, can you give me a synopsis?
Well, okay, I have questions. What have you been doing? Seriously, what have you been doing? Okay, this show right now is like number one in the USA on Netflix. When I saw it, I was like, I am absolutely not fucking watching this trash. Like, that was my initial response. And then
exactly what I said.
And then I started seeing everyone post about it. And I was like, I don't know. If I run out of things to watch, maybe I'll give it a whirl. And then I ran out of things to watch. And I was like, Lex, I don't know. Do you want to watch this? Like, it sounds kind of funny. And she was like, all right, turn one on. And the whole like first episode, our mouths are just like hanging open going, what is happening right now on this train wreck? So it's about these like, and we're only like 4 episodes in, 4 or 5. I fell asleep during the last one last night. But it's about these like 3 different groups of, they own big cats. And by big cat, I mean like tigers and snow leopards and panthers. Not lion. Just like, oh, my cat's 24 pounds and needs to go on a diet. No, I mean like legitimately eat your face big cats. And they're all kind of in this weird feud. One of them probably killed someone.
That's in Tampa.
Like, I know. I was going to ask you about that.
We have a gift certificate to go there. Yes.
Well, now you gotta go.
First of all, you have to.
Since we moved here, because it literally was like 2 miles from our first apartment when we moved down here. She's like, we gotta go. And the tickets were not cheap. So at the beginning I was like, no, I'm not paying that, you know, da da da. And then for, I think Gail's birthday, Katie got us tickets to go. And we just haven't gone yet. But I was like, man, are you kidding me? That they like showed the sheriff's office. I was like, I know that sheriff's office. What the fuck?
Weird.
So anyways, carry on.
It just seemed so crazy weird until they were like, oh yeah, and her billionaire husband went missing. And I was like, I'm sorry. The lady with all the tigers' husband went missing mysteriously. No one's ever found him? Huh.
Yeah.
Green tomatoes to me.
So I knew, you kind of know it's a murder mystery because the tagline is like mayhem, murder, and like
madness.
Yeah. So you're like, someone's going to die. But I thought for sure, dude with the crazy outfits was going to be the one in jail for killing somebody. And it was probably going to be one of his husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Which, why no teeth? Like, what's happening with the teeth situation?
Teeth now. Does he got teeth since the show started airing.
Oh.
Made his millions.
Yeah.
Real nice mouth.
John Tiger.
So weird, you guys. Let's talk
about that. Both of those guys were straight.
Let's talk about that guy's teeth.
But, well, I think you'll do a lot for meth. No, yeah. They're all on meth.
Well, he also gives them, like, it's weird how each of these, like, cult leaders, if I may, kind of, like, controls the people that work there. And it's all very, like, ritualistic. And especially Doc, and I'm sorry, you're a doctor in what magic? Like, what?
Doc, yeah. His name, it was, like, Braga Vida Bada Bada.
Yeah. Which means the Lord. Yeah. Bogovich,
something? So, yeah. Bogdanovan?
So you have one Joe Exotic, who he like harbors all these kinds of misfits and people that don't really have any other place to fit in. He has two husbands. They're all a little off, but they seem harmless. Like in the grand scheme of things,
they all seem very methy.
Yes.
And they get paid like $100 a week to work like these 12-hour days in shitty conditions. And,
super shitty conditions, which is not cool. But it's not like they're being held there at gunpoint. They stay. So, I don't know.
They're in a cult.
And yeah, you're in a cult. Call your dad. the next group is like this group of, he's like an older, very porny looking guy who has a lot of, I told Lex yesterday, I was like, how does he get all these super hot girls to like fall
I have no idea. Probably all the free boob jobs he makes them have.
He has all these like women who have sworn their like undying loyalty and virginity to him, which is a little weird. He gets them to come work there when they're like 16, 17, and then they become part of his harem.
It's like Charles Manson-ish.
Yeah. And then
like
you have
one girl that was talking about like, I didn't have to get a boob job, but I felt pressured and it gave me a couple weeks off. So I was like, okay, I will.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, she's like, I never said yes to it. They just kind of made all the appointments.
Yeah. And then you have the lady.
I decided to do it just so I could have some time off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the third like gang of weirdos is this lady who, by all like intents and purposes, seems to be pretending to be running like a legitimate cat sanctuary where they're actually accredited and like they're supposed to be legit, but she is surprisingly the most sketchy of them all. She's like, my whole purpose in life is to just save big cats. But it's not. She used to profit off of them, and now it seems like she's trying to hide her profit. Like, she has, like, 300 people that work for her and doesn't pay a single one of them. They're all on, like, a volunteer basis, which at least the other guys, they pay them garbage, but they're being paid.
Right.
So, yeah.
And she's bringing in, like, millions of dollars.
Because she gets a ton of donations.
Facebook and,
yeah.
Hi, you crazy cats and kittens.
And I'm telling you, it is, like, the place to fucking go here. Like, people love the big cat rescue.
Stop.
It's so weird. I'm like so. That's the only reason I decided to watch it, because I was like, well, and now I'm like, I don't want to go. Like,
no,
I
don't, you
I
do.
I want to go, but I'm like, I don't want to go because I don't want to support this woman.
We need you to go.
Well, if you don't go, then you've supported her for nothing because it's a gift certificate.
True.
So it's she gets
Katie.
Money for
Katie.
Free.
Yeah. Predator, you know?
He's gonna get it.
Some undercover investigation because she claims to have hundreds.
Aaron Zach reporting to you live from the big cat rescue.
Yeah, she claims to have hundreds of cats.
I know.
And she only has like 12.
I know.
Oh my God. When they were, did you guys get to the one yet where he's in there and the tiger starts going after his shoes?
No.
Oh.
I mean.
He starts to get really paranoid and he's in there, Joe Exotic's in there like with the tigers. And one of them starts kind of like going after his shoes and then ends up like knocking him over and kind of batting him around and stuff a little bit. And he is convinced somebody put something on his shoes to make the tiger go after him. And they cut to Carol and she's like, you wouldn't put cologne on shoes. That's all that's going to do is make the cats drool all over him. If you really want him to go after them, you'd put sardine oil on them. Oh, really, Carol? Are you speaking from experience? Did you maybe cover your husband in sardine oil so the tigers would eat him?
Yeah, that's so weird. You know that guy's been shit out of some tiger's ass, right? Like, you know that's what happened to him.
Okay, so how far are you guys?
I'm like the middle, probably end of episode 3.
I'm on like episode 4.
I genuinely watched the first episode and then I put it on in the background while I was cleaning today. So I think I went through 2 more episodes listening.
It gets.
I didn't watch it.
So much. I can't even explain to you how much crazier it gets. When you think it, like, can't go any, get any crazier, like.
Is it crazier than Abducted in Plain Sight?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think so.
That just made me mad.
Crazier than a girl that gets kidnapped by the man who had sexual relations with both of her parents.
Right? God, that show.
Yeah. It might be crazier than that. Uh-huh.
I stopped watching it because I was so uncomfortable. That Abducted in Plain Sight. Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah, I was so uncomfortable.
I had to finish it because I was so mad at the parents. I was like, please tell me that something comes together in the end. Some kind of reprieve, because it was disgusting.
I started watching it because of the memes. Like the
memes. Yeah, me too.
Like the one
Tiger King too, though.
Right? Like, well, the one with the guy from Abducted in Plain Sight was like the dad. It was like, have you ever done something for a friend that you later regret? And he's like,
yep. It was the memes that got me.
Right? I know. Let's talk about the memes all over the place.
Oh my god.
Anything.
I just
like Joe Exotic if 2020 was a person.
Oh.
Joe Exotic.
Right. Lisa Frank one.
Music videos.
Oh. The one where it's like, how's your life going? And it's like his eye ring. And it's like hanging on by a thread.
But when he, so when he was like, yeah, I've known I was gay since I was 13. I was like, wait a minute. What is happening? Like, now he's gay, and Lex was like, yeah, you couldn't tell. And I was like, I was distracted by all of the other things taking place.
No, because I don't expect a gay guy in 2020 or 2019 or whatever year this is to have a mullet.
Exactly. To be that messy about everything and weirdly flashy, but not in a good way.
I don't know what episode it is or on. Has he run for any sort of office yet?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
Just wait.
Yeah.
And then when they brought on his husband, and I was like, oh, but where are his teeth? Like,
when he has a thruple wedding?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So cultish.
And the lady doing the... She's like, maybe the weirdest wedding or whatever.
Yeah, the officiant's like, yeah.
No, love is love.
I was aghast. Aghast.
Especially because he is clearly 30 years at least older than them.
Oh, for sure.
Talking about the porn with the young kid, when he, that one kid came onto the thing.
You mean his husband, Aaron? His husband?
Well, yeah, but he wasn't husband yet. Like, yeah, so he comes in and he's like, he was from Southern California and he was dark and beautiful and he had the biggest hands I've ever seen. And then he's like asking him about porn and if he ever watched porn. He's like, do you want to watch the guy with the big dick or the guy with the little dick? And he's like, oh, the guy with the big dick. He's like, you're probably not that straight then. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? I was seriously like Jackie, when you said you watched it with your mouth hanging open, that's how I was for like all- I was like,
gay men approach finding out very differently. Like, we look at so many different things before we wonder if a girl's gay.
It gets so much crazier. Like, I can't even.
Did you do it in one day, Stacey? Did you watch?
She was working.
I was working. My boss told me to watch it.
You know, my boss tells you to do something, you guys.
Gotta listen. What are you gonna do? I was eating Starbucks pastries and watching Tiger King.
Now that we have given away the entire show, everyone go watch it.
Gotta watch it.
Go watch it. You won't even. I started watching it twice just to pick up on all the shit I missed the first time.
I'm
gonna have to do that because I wasn't watching episodes 2 and 3 like really. Mm-hmm. So I'm
Did Joe Exotic end up with Carol's diaries? Is what I want to know. Like
he's just like,
oh, you want to hear how this came about? Let me open up the copy of her diary that was mysteriously placed in my mailbox. Flip, flip, flip. I was like, this guy's got people everywhere. Like it was mind boggling. It's. Guys, I'm telling
I hope no one ever gives my diary away. Damn.
It's insane. Everyone go watch it. Bueno.
I'll go watch it. It sounds like, have you guys heard of Don't Fuck With Cats?
I've heard of that.
I haven't seen it.
Kind of like that.
Like, yeah, it's just one of those documentaries where you're like,
except this seems like you took a bunch of shit, like Hillbilly, Private Zoo, gay guy married to two guys who claim to be straight, murder for hire, a presidential campaign, gubernatorial campaign, like you meth, and you just took it all up and threw it out. There's Tiger King.
If 2020 was right. like a documentary of a shit show, this is what it would be, essentially. All of the weird stuff that you just shake up and are like, fuck it. Yeah. It's
only 3 months in.
Oh, God, but I don't even say that. Like, oh, 3 months into 2020, it feels like 19 years.
I know. I feel like we're like halfway through a decade.
For sure. For sure. How's everyone holding up in a shelter in place?
I mean, it just is what it is. I ventured to Costco yesterday. That's the first time I've left the house in a week. My kids haven't left the house, like, at all. So I don't take them, like, if I have to run out, you know, to do something. Well, usually I send Kai because he's the one going to work every day still. So I'm like, stop at the store. So we only have one person that needs to be disinfected when they walk in the door. But I ventured to Costco and it was actually like not, I mean, it felt very like apocalyptic, like where there was a line to get in and they were like disinfecting people and like carts. And there was like a sign with all the stuff that they were out of and very strange. People were like rushing to the water to like get it off the pallet and very weird, but the workers were doing like all they could to keep everything really sanitary. They wouldn't touch your card, your Costco card. They wouldn't touch the receipt at the door. They were like, no, they were wearing gloves and doing all kinds of stuff, wiping down the freezers, the handles and stuff, like just periodically. So it was a good experience, but quarantine is, we're getting cabin fever over here. I could feel it.
Yeah. What about you, Stacey?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going okay. I had already been home before it started, so I feel like I got a jump start on all of this before everybody else did, just because my anxiety was really bad, and I just, whatever. And so, like, it was right after my dad's service, and I had just been home already, so I hadn't gone out already when it started, and I left the house twice in this whole time. So since, like, I don't know, March, pretty early on, like the 13th or 14th. I left twice last week to drop Piper off at the groomers and to pick her up from the groomers. And that's the only time I've left the house so far. So, I mean, like I've gone on walks. So I've done that, which is good. I feel like getting outside, like that helps a lot. Like I did my hair today and I feel like that helped me feel like a human. And even if I just go out in the backyard and like sit in the sun for a couple minutes, I feel like that helps a lot. But working is helpful too, like working from home, because it's obviously like not a normal situation. So I'm lucky in the fact that my employer is being supportive of us, like doing some like additional trainings and certifications and things like that in the downtime that we have. So that's good. But yeah, it's just weird. I'm like, we've DoorDashed a couple times just because we want to try to like support local businesses and things like that that are struggling. So, you know, not so plenty of time to cook, but I want to try and be supportive of certain places. So I am definitely one of those people now though, that like, if they, like, I get weirded out if they don't just drop the food on the ground, like leave it outside. Like the lady yesterday was like ringing the doorbell and then stayed there. And I'm like, fuck, I'm going to have to like have an interaction with this lady. Like that's not 6 feet apart. And so I like opened the door and she handed me and our fingers touched. And I was like, no, that's not how you're supposed to do any of this. Like you're supposed to leave it on the porch and then you're supposed to leave. And then I'm supposed to come out, supposed to take all my food out outside and leave the bags outside. And then like, what? And it just,
she wanted me a tip.
I know. I was like, well then don't touch me. Here's a tip. There's my tip. So I think it's okay. Like I'm doing a lot of puzzles. I'm trying not to gain 7,000 pounds.
Good.
Yep. Because I don't want to exercise because I'm kind of sleepy from like just not having anything to do.
Exactly.
And so I don't want to exercise, but then I'm like, oh, I'm bored. So I'll eat.
Yep.
Same. Aaron's.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I mean, fortunately, I mean, you guys obviously, if you have, you know, you're working, that's great. Like, I'm still working, which is really great. But I actually go into work every day because I basically work by myself. When I do, I guess lawn care service is an essential business, which is great for me in the sense that I can continue to get a paycheck. I think to be completely honest, like, I haven't been quarantined, so I'm fine. But I will say this, my anxiety is off the charts every single day. Just like every day our numbers go up. Every day I see more people die. Every day I hear more and more about how Florida is becoming a hot spot. Every day I see how Hillsborough County is like becoming more and more this area that's like really ramping up to be the next bad part of the United States. And it's very hard to see and to know that our governor is a piece of shit. And just to like, to understand that, like, there's always going to be someone higher up that doesn't give two shits about, the people. And that's hard to deal with. And it's hard to like see our president. And so like,
I agree. It is hard to see him.
It's hard to look at him. It's hard to listen to him. It's literally just like, it's just hard. And my anxiety has been very, very, very bad. I mean, I think I may have talked about this the last time. I don't know.
Do you not remember?
It's funny. but like, it's just, I had a really bad anxiety attack like a week and a half ago. And it just, I've been trying to not read as much, not read stuff before bed. I have to turn off CNN. I have to find a way to like, deal with the impending doom. And I'm really bad at dealing with impending doom. And it's not just with this. I knew impending doom from hurricanes. Like, you know, the hurricane would be 2 days from shore and I'd walk outside at night and be like, like, it's going to just like sweep up off the coast really quick and carry me away or some shit. And like, it's just the impending doom feeling is really something that I have a hard time dealing with. So, otherwise I think like, to be completely honest, this isn't a horrible thing for the business that I'm in. So I'm kind of okay right now. Business-wise, work-wise, writing-wise, I can't fucking write anything. I'm like a wet noodle. So.
But your dog's never been happier.
Hannah loves Gail so much time. So like Hannah's like in love with Gail. Like it lays by Gail, snuggles with Gail. Oh, Gail. And I'm like, what the fuck? He's like me more.
No jealousy here.
Yeah, God. Whatever, Hannah.
But you have to take breaks. Like once I have like the COVID-19 tracker up all day and I'm constantly like I work for a county, so I'm constantly refreshing our numbers and then the county I live in's numbers and like so when I leave my office at home for the day, I try not to look at anything else because I have to have that break, which is why I think Tiger King is so popular right now because it's such a break from all of the dysfunction that our world is in. You're just like, what is this craziness and why have I not heard this before and what perfect timing to release this documentary? Because you laugh. You wonder how the hell people live like this and then you wonder why you didn't know about it. Like there's all of these emotions you go through which you kind of miss having because they feel normal and it kind of makes you be like, wow, my life's not so fucking bad. These people are.
Right?
Yeah.
But what about you? How's quarantine treating you or shelter in place?
Shelter in place. I actually got started on it really early because I work in athletics and the Pac-12 was done a long time ago before the universities, before California. So I was working like part-time way early. So I'm finally getting in the groove of it. I think the hard part is like teaching. So I have never like taught an online class and now we had to move everything online and I've never had more work in my life just sitting. And I never knew how much just sitting really bothered me. Like in my real job, I'm always doing something. I'm always walking around, I'm doing exercises. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, learn how to work Zoom. Hey, learn how to turn your practical into some form of quiz that's on an online test. It's open only in a window between 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock. There's a ridiculous amount of things. And now I didn't know how to work Facebook. I didn't know how to work Instagram. Luckily, you guys taught me how to use Skype.
You're a terrible millennial, Guido. Terrible. I'm the
worst. You're like a boomer millennial. This is a phone.
I am literally on my phone right now because I'm like, I don't have a computer.
So do you?
I don't. God, I love her.
Do you? When you would do your Zoom stuff, do you do it from your phone?
No, the school gave me an iPad and a keyboard for the iPad, so I do it from an iPad.
That's good. That's good. I was like, oh my.
The way you said iPad. Like
she's all.
An iPad. Fancy.
Hey, I have a question for everybody. So, like, obviously, this is all, you know, shitty and bad for us, and we're all kind of like, meh. But, like, what are some good things that you've each experienced throughout all of this?
I feel like it's really positive to see everybody spending time with, like, their families. Like, everybody, it's almost like the world has to take a break. You know what I mean? Like, everybody is spending time with their friends, their families, and everybody's really creative. I see people painting and creating stuff and redoing their, you know, living room and being, I don't know, books that they don't normally read and doing all this stuff. So I feel like that's positive. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not overlooking like the sickness and the death. I know that's sad, but it's really nice to see everybody coming together and cooking at home and spending time with their families and taking a little break from life.
Yeah, I think just the coming together thing, I would agree with that too, because as much as there is a lot of like crazy, scary news and stuff on Facebook, I feel like there's a lot of like positivity and stuff. And I've seen more like camaraderie and that sort of stuff on Facebook. Like I'm in a bunch of groups now. I'm in this, which is not because of this, but I'm in this like women in Parks and Recreation group. And I've joined all these other groups to get ideas of, you know, things I'm trying to post, things people can do from home. And it's just nice to see all these other things, like people coming together and, like you said, being creative and trying to spread positivity and offering to, especially where I live, offering to go get groceries for their neighbors so they don't have to leave the house, and, you know, sending, you know, restaurants that are sending food to local hospitals and stuff like that, I think is really good to see. But yeah, I've also done a lot of like, we had a virtual game night last night with some of my family members for my brother's birthday. So it's just putting in that effort to check in on everybody and make sure they're okay and to help out and to help people out. And yeah. I will say, like, all the celebrities that are doing free concerts, free whatever, yeah. Like, it's nice because, you know, all these people are pissed off about the stimulus package and the fact that it had funding for the Kennedy Center. But, like, arts are important. Yeah. So I'm glad that through this people are realizing, like, how important that kind of stuff is. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know.
I feel.
Go ahead, Bona.
I feel like, okay, so I tend to walk. Sorry, I almost said that and the dog got real excited. I WALK and I jog a lot around the area, and usually, especially at this time, you don't see too many people out, and it's crazy how many people are getting out and trying to exercise. I'm like, we've been missing this for a really long time, just like learning to take a breath and really focus on yourself, and now that you have time, take time to yourself and go outside. And that's a really hard issue for a lot of people. And hopefully they take this into like their new kind of idea of life, and taking time out and going for WALKs is, I'm not going to get her to beg right now. So I think that was one of the really happy things, just seeing families on bike rides and out and playing. I know that the parks are down. Parks and Rec people.
Nope. They're not down. Don't stop spreading that rumor. Yep. They're open.
Parks are open. Playgrounds.
So playgrounds are closed.
Playgrounds
down.
And sport
because we cannot keep up with disinfecting. Yeah. Yes, please
and
go use
parks.
Your parks.
Dog parks are locked down. There's like little things. Yep.
Yeah, because they're inherently places of social gathering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So are parks.
Right, but people still need to be able to use walking trails and. That's yep. why, like, we shut our public bathrooms, but you can still go out and use the trail to try and dissuade people from hanging out there and having picnics and stuff. Mm-hmm. And per the governor's orders, we haven't been, people aren't supposed to be using the play equipment. We are not disinfecting ours, so we have signs posted everywhere because kids are very gross. And they spread, and the last thing we want is a bunch of kids getting sick too. So if you tell them, you know, don't play on play equipment, it's okay for them to go on walks with their family and walk their dog and do these things, but don't play on the play equipment, because we can't, there's no way we could possibly keep up with sanitizing them. So no. We don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But parks are open. Go to your local park.
Yep.
Just don't hang out there. Mm-hmm. Walk around, just do what you're going to do.
Go furl around.
Well, and if you go somewhere and it's impossible for you to socially distance while you're there, go somewhere else.
Right, leave.
Hey-o.
Well, just go somewhere else.
So I agree with everything you guys have said completely. I'm actually going to focus on how I think this is going to be good for business. I think, so the county I work for is, they haven't updated their computer system since 2008, which is mind-boggling because I work for a county that has a $2 billion operating budget. So it's not like I work for a small, little hole-in-the-wall county. Like, yeah, like this is a huge place that has almost 1 million people in it. But so one of the things that this has forced them to do almost at warp speed, and it's funny because I'm on this department head call every morning and they're always like, we've been working on this for 10 years. And I'm like, 10 years, huh? 10 years. And we're just getting around and being caught up. But the good news is it has forced them to kind of fast forward some of their projects and endeavors. And now they've set up a system where we can let people work from home and we are going to be able to have teleconferencing. And So I don't work at the main towers where like county center is. I work off campus. I actually work at one of the UC extensions. I'm not even going to say. And I have complained in the past that for me to go to meetings at the tower, it takes me a half an hour to get there, a half an hour to get back, and then however long the meeting is. So I waste an hour every time I have to go up there, which is pretty frequently because I'm a department head. I've been asking for months to be able to call in or teleconference in so that I'm not wasting their time, my time, everyone's time by driving back and forth, finding a parking spot, paying for parking. Like, well, I don't have to pay for parking, but I have a pass. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So there's all of these things that now they're allowing, and people with disabilities who have a harder time getting around. Like, there's just all these avenues kind of opening up where I really wanted to be able to offer a more comprehensive or robust work from home program for, you know, women who are pregnant, women who have trouble finding daycare, like all of these things that come up when you're a department head with staff, that we haven't had any leniency to be able to let people do things differently. And this has kind of blown it wide open. And now I can point to these several weeks and say, no, it's okay. Because I'll tell you what, my staff right now is more productive from home than they are at work. And I'm not saying my staff doesn't work hard while they're at work. They do. I appreciate everything that they do. But without the distractions of like what the workplace offers of just even people walking in and coworkers chit-chatting and, you know, whatever it may be, I get more productivity out of them in like 4 hours of them sitting at home at their wherever they're working than I do in probably 6 or 7 from them in the office. And especially I work in a creative field. They're more creative. They're taking more time to like develop their flyers and their programs. Everything has been exponentially better for work product. So I think this is going to open up a lot of avenues for a different approach to the workplace than what we've seen before. And I mean, I know I'm super privileged and fortunate. I'm still working. My wife is still working for right now. I understand that not everyone is in that position. I can't imagine the level of stress that some people are under right now. And it's very easy for us to sit here and be like, oh, look how lucky we are that we are able to figure all these things out. I get it. Not everyone's in that position. And yeah. I don't have a good answer for it. There's no good answers to any of this, but, I have a feeling it's going to kind of reinvent the workplace. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be positive for all the future generations to come after us. So I'm appreciative of that.
One of the things that I've really seen too is like, I feel like we're all more connected to each other, even if we're long distance. You know, like I feel like I talk to you guys a lot more like on our thread, on Marco Polo, even like my friends up in Indiana, like, and in Illinois, like I feel like, you know, Chicagoland area, whatever, like we are so much more connected because we want to know how each other's feeling. We're doing mental health check-ins. We're, you know, like my best friend in Colorado, like, and one of my other friends that lives down in Houston, like we have a thread together. We went to high school together and we're just like, we never thought when we were in high school, we'd ever be going through something like this. Like, I know that seems so small and like insignificant, but at this point in our lives, we're like, we're, I'm 40. They're like, you know, 12, but like, I just feel like it's so much this thing that you're going through that you're like, you need these people that have been in your lives for X amount of time to be there for you because they understand like who you are, like as a human being and like how you deal with things. And I think that that's really, really important, you know, and like, you know, speaking of people that like obviously have lost their jobs, like obviously, you know, Gail lost her job and she still has a job. Like when they finally open up again, she'll be able to go back to work without any issues, which is great. And like some restaurants aren't functioning that way, but hers is, which is really awesome. But like, I make fun of her because it's just funny, but she does like Facebook live videos on their like Facebook page for the restaurant. And I'm like, why are you doing that? And she's like, because it keeps us all connected. And like, she had like 30 or 40 people on her Facebook live. I was like, excuse me. I don't know.
Don't be that person, Erin. Don't be that person.
I know. I'm like, I think you're more popular than me, but
there it is. There it is. That's more on brand for you then.
Pisces, I'm going to be okay with it. Like I told her, I was just like, you know, I'm really happy that you're keeping connected with these people because they're all missing each other. And I think when everybody's able to go back to work, if they have lost their jobs and are able to go back to the same company and get the same job back, they're probably going to have a much better mindset when they go back in there. And like the morale and just the idea, like we're able to be back together and working again. I feel like it might actually be this really great social like experiment with people where they're happy again. You know, I think about the earth resetting itself. Like you hear about the stories in Italy and all those things. And like, I just think about like the pollution in China and the pollution probably here now. And I feel like there's so many, it's horrifying. Believe me, I'm not saying that COVID-19 was the best thing that's ever happened to the earth, but
maybe.
I am saying that there are benefits to every negative. And this is a huge negative, but I think we can come out of this maybe a better population in the sense that life finds a way, to quote Jeff Goldblum.
And the other aspect of it is, so our son, he's in daycare. He's still going to daycare with reduced hours. One of the reasons is he's 21 months old and I'm on like 8 hours of conference calls a day. We could not do that. Lex does therapy. she could not do that. There's only four kids there right now and they only have two teachers in to mitigate risk and exposure. And like, there's no shoes on and like they're taking every precaution possible. Plus his doctor said that it was good for him to be around the same type of kids to at least keep up some of his immunities. And I don't know, sometimes I worry that we're making the wrong decision. And then sometimes I'm like, but this is good for his mental health too, like keeping him on a schedule and keeping him around his friends. And like, he's only 21 months old. So we can't necessarily do activities with him all day that would then keep us from doing our jobs. There's all these different emotions that play in my head, but he's only going for a few hours a day versus the, you know, 10 he was going. But all of that brought me to say this. I was having a conversation with someone that I work with today and I said, well, have you asked for a fee reduction? And I was like, that hasn't even crossed my mind because I'm still working. I want these people to still be getting paid. So if you are fortunate enough that you're still working and you have people that do consistent services for you, keep paying them because they're in a terrible situation. And I'm not saying if you're out of work and I'm not saying that that's your responsibility, you're trying to fight day to day, just like they are. I would hope that the people who use your system services consistently would continue to pay you. Like even if we had to take him out altogether, cause it closed, I would continue to pay them until one of us wasn't working or whatever our circumstances changed, because that is the right thing to do. We have to keep paying these people because that's part of being in a community also.
But I think, too, like, one of the important things to remember that if you are paying for a service that you can't afford, you do need to call them and tell them and cancel if you can.
For sure.
I'm very worried about lawn care customers that can no longer afford to pay their lawn care bill, because we don't stop just because you haven't paid until probably 2 to 3 weeks after you haven't paid. You know, like, we bill you for a month's services, so we'll continue that month, but then if you don't pay it, at all, like, it's just, I think it's very important to remember that,
just call.
This world is, but like, this world runs on the backs of small business. And like, you have to remember that, it's not going to hurt our feelings if you can't pay the bill, if you cancel first, but it does frustrate us as a small business to not just call us and explain. And then we'll just be like, okay, well, you know, we can try to like maybe do every other week, or, you know, instead of doing every week in the summer, you know, we'll try to coordinate it with you. And like, I'm in the situation that I understand what people are going through. Like, I'm not going to be some dickhead motherfucker there that's like, fuck you, I'm going to let your grass grow to like, you know, 10 feet high. No, that's not it. It's like, I'm going to work with you, and I want you to know I'm going to work with you, because in the future, I hope you work with me. And I think that that's very important, but it's just that whole idea that like, I'm going through a hard time, so I'm not going to communicate. And that's difficult, and I get it, but like, just call people, let them know that you can't pay the bill. And
I meant for people who like get their hair cut every 4 weeks and now you can't because of social distancing.
Right.
Pay the person who does your hair. Like, I'm not saying it to be a jerk or that you owe them that, but we're not all going to survive this unless some of us pick up the slack when other people, you cannot, and I'm sorry, you cannot in good conscience tell me that you support social democratic viewpoints and not support this if you are in the place to support it. Right. If you're not, you're not, and nobody can hold that against you. But if you're still working and getting paid full time and you were supposed to get your hair cut and canceled, pay that person. It is the right thing to do. And believe me, these people will remember that. They really will.
Your landscaper, your housekeeper,
anybody.
Yeah.
A lot of hair companies down here have closed.
Right.
You know, so like,
nail
obviously,
people
like,
who do your nails.
Right. Right. Like Katie, who is, you know, like basically my stepdaughter, I'm a best friend. Like she, I only say that because I know she listens to us. So hey, Katie, shout out to Katie. She like is kind of freaking out a little bit. And I know she won't care that I'm talking about it, but like, I know she's a little bit depressed and she's used to going to work every day and seeing people and being, she's very extroverted. So like, that idea that like someone would maybe send her a couple, you know, like a 20 or like even just like a $40 tip or something, just to say like, this is what I would have given you had you done my hair. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that it would make her day. It would make her day, you know, like we are getting our hair done obviously for free during this time because she just comes over to the house and does it, but we're still going to give her a tip. We're still going to pay her for the supplies. Like, those are all things that I think it's so important at this point in time to like show people this, like, this like giving,
well, like good faith.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to come back. Like, it's not like I'm not going to come. I just can't right now. So I will come back. I promise.
Right. When it's over, I think it's important. Like, there's this big push, at least where I live, to like, you know, support businesses and, you know, the Great American Takeout and order food. And, you know, there's plenty of restaurants that are putting together like, grocery packages, like from their distributors that they're putting together at the restaurants. Like, there's this big push to support them now, but I think it's really important, like, to support them when this is all over too. Like, don't forget about them because they're going to have a tremendous loss of, you know, wages and stuff like that. But it's
so
hard.
I've seen a lot of stuff like on Facebook about people, you know, the stimulus package going through, like, you know, went through today, I guess. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are talking about how unfair it is, which sounds terrible because you're getting free money, but they're talking about how it's not divided up very well. You know, there's some people that, you know, I'm a single mom, I lost my job during this, and I'm only getting this amount of money versus this other person that's still going to work that is making this amount of money, that's getting back this amount of money. So like, I'm wondering how you guys feel about this amount of money that's coming in.
The,
and and the amount.
The only thing that I think is flawed, I think they actually did a really good job with it. I think the Democrats were able to put enough in there. I think the extension on unemployment benefits, and I think they did a lot of really good things. The only thing I think doesn't work is the income thresholds, that it's one for the country. It doesn't make any sense because out here, $75,000 a year isn't
Louisiana.
I mean, it's not a lot of money, but it's not the same as somewhere else where if you make $75,000 a year, like, you don't need a $1,200 check if you make $75,000 a year in another state where, like, the minimum wage is lower and cost of living is lower.
Correct.
But $75,000 in California is, you know, $1,200 isn't really going to even help pay your rent or your... So, I mean, so I just wish that maybe it wouldn't have been $1 amount for the entire country because...
Yeah.
Cost of living is just so different.
I 100% agree with you. My only pushback on it is I get it, because if you were to get into the minutia of it, it would delay the payment of people who truly need it. But I agree with you. I don't, in honestly, because we're still working, if there was a way that I could click a box and pick a single mom for it to go to, I would. So I plan on taking the money we're getting and putting it straight back into our local economy, like, immediately, not waiting until this is over, but trying to buy things from local people, because I don't think it, I understand why it's happening the way it is for expediency, but is it fair?
Right. Well,
of course it's not fair. Like, but if you were to take everything on a case-by-case basis, we wouldn't see this money until next June. So
it's already going to be a long time.
Right. I don't know if there's a better way to do it. I think they're just trying to make the best of a shitty situation where there's no good answers. But I agree with you. Like, no, $75,000 in California is not the same as it is in Alabama. It's just not. And $1,200, $2,300 there is going to take them a lot further than it will here. But in order to get any money in the hands of people, they kind of have to say this is the average, so this is what we're taking. I do think it's up to local governments. Like, we're very lucky to live in California where they're already passing extended sick leave benefits for people.
I just want to say I don't live in California, though.
Well, okay.
But don't want me to that wee,
you
motherfucker.
You should come here because
okay, well, four
our
out
dream
of five
boat
of us.
Of a, our dream, listen, our dream boat of a governor is just leading the way. We need to, like,
dick boat of a governor.
But, like, California is doing things like...
Me and Gene are living our best dream governor lives right now.
They're extending sick leave benefits to people where even if your employer isn't paying for sick leave, California is going to pick up 80% of your income. Like,
isn't that lovely? Because we can't even fucking file unemployment for Gale. Like,
well, they've also sped up the they've sped up the unemployment process, too, here. But I will take this moment to say this is why elections matter. Like, local elections matter.
Say again, that none of these things were platforms that Republicans.
Right. Well, everyone knows that. Everyone.
Not one of these things. I just want to, not that anyone listening to our podcast needs to know this, but remember when you want to pass all this shit, that these are not the kind of positions that Republicans have. And it's really important. Like, it seems like a big fucking waste of money until you're the one in need.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, I think, like, one of the things that, like, is so ridiculous and so amazing at the same time is the spotlight this has shown on our healthcare system.
For sure.
Like, it is so fucking fucked up that it took a goddamn global
pandemic. It takes a tragedy always.
Exactly. You're so fucking right. And that's the worst part about this is that no one wanted to believe that, well... The Republicans didn't want to believe that the American healthcare system was fucked until
they'd have to put money into it.
You know? Yeah, some Democrats didn't even want to believe that it was fucked. They were fine with, like, certain things of it, but not everything. You know what? The whole thing is fucking fucked. And, like, at this point in time, like, it's just, it's sad that it took a goddamn fucking tragedy to make people go, oh, this is a bad thing.
Well, like, but it's good that it's happening with COVID-19. And not something like Ebola, because, and I'm the people who are dying and sitting in hospitals, it's terrible. And I'm sorry if any of your family members are experiencing that, but we're lucky it's something that doesn't have the mortality rate that Ebola does. And we'd kill our country. we'd be completely gone. We 10% would survive.
Like the movie Outbreak.
Yeah.
That would fucking really murder.
But it's a really good kind of check, like kick in the ass to be like, we have to do things differently. Like here in California, slow. San Luis Obispo, for people who aren't from here, it's a county in California. Sorry. Because they have very few cases there right now. But what they're actually doing is they're setting up San Luis Obispo College, Cal Poly, to be an emergency intake center so that they can take people from other areas that are more heavily affected. Their healthcare system can handle the influx right now, but they're concerned it's going to overwhelm it in other places. So they've set up the entire college to be an ICU now, so that they can actually take the influx of local infected
California
people.
California just needs to be its own fucking country. Let's be real. Agreed. Like,
yeah, we
I'm
agree.
Move to California and then, I'll tell you right now, like, I have never hated Florida as much as I hate it right now. I've always hated the humidity. It's always been bad for my curly hair. But I was able to get around other parts of it because I was like, the beach. It's beautiful. It's sunny. You know, 90%
of the year. We have that
here, too. Yeah. Like,
yeah. check.
No humidity. Like, my curly hair would be fucking baller there. And, like, I'm cool with that. But you know what? At this point in time, this fucking state makes me want to vomit because it is the worst. It is the fucking worst. We are, like, number 8, and we are the only state in the top 10, 11, 12 that is not under a fucking stay at home. The whole state. Like,
Well, it's the difference. It's a community mindset of not just what about us, but what about everyone? How are we going to be able to help everyone and not just what's in it for us? Mm-hmm. Like, and not everyone's following it here. Don't get me wrong. Like, the beaches here are crowded and people are still being fucking idiots. And, like, the tourism, people need to stay out and go home. And but at least we have leadership in place that is being proactive instead of reactive, which is why, like, Bay Area, the Bay Area of California, where the four of us live, is one of the only places in the country that's actually flattening the curve. And there are 5 million people that live here. And we have kept our numbers below 1%, which is incredible when you think about the amount of people that fly in here, that work here, that live on top of each other here. Like, and it's because our governor, despite everything that our administration said, was like, no, where this is what we're going to do. We don't give a shit what the president
says. He has been a freaking hero.
Yeah,
like a freaking hero. Yeah. He does daily press conferences and you can tell he's like, he is working so hard. And he's in the weeds about it.
He's in the minutia. Like, he knows.
Getting masks and getting, like there. He means business. And I think, did you guys see the New York Times video today that was, like, 24 hours in the, or a day in the life of a.
No.
Wait, nurse. Who, was it a girl?
It was Elmhurst Hospital or somewhere like that in New York.
Yesterday I watched it and I was like, it literally, and like with the refrigerated trailer, semi-trailer.
Yeah.
I literally had to pause it and get up and walk around because I was going to vomit. Like,
me too. But the thing that she said that got me so much was like when she said basically like the head of their county public health and the president and everyone's talking about how they don't have a shortage of ventilators and they don't have this. And they have plenty of extras and they're doing great and whatever. And she's like, I don't care if I get in trouble. This is the truth. This is what's really happening. Like, we just got 5 more ventilators from some other hospital, some other place. She's like, but with the way things are going right now, I anticipate in another day or two, we're going to be short ventilators again. Like, so to have the president up there like, oh, everything's great and everybody's going to be business as usual by Easter, like, No, they're not. It's like, that's not how this is going to work. And flattening the curve doesn't mean fewer people get sick.
Right.
It means they get sick over a longer period of time. There's fewer at once to not overwhelm our healthcare system. And so I just felt so bad for this. And I can't remember if she was a nurse or a doctor, but
she was a nurse. She was a nurse. Okay. Yeah. But, and she was like talking about how she only had the one mask for 7 days in a row. Like, she basically every other day had to use this mask. So maybe she had 2 masks. And for 14 days, she had to basically alternate and let one air out and, like, the other one. It was just fucked up.
What I was reading, too, was, like, they were saying, like, the number of Obviously, we know the number of cases is completely skewed because it's just on based on how many people
are getting tested.
But I didn't think about the fatality numbers are very skewed too, because there's so many people dying and they're not posthumously testing people.
Right.
The scarcity of testing. So there's so many people that are just dying before they can even get, you know, get them tested.
I didn't mean
to dwell on like the sadness of that thing. It just was like the severity of when the president goes out and just spews all this nonsense. Sorry, Erin, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I didn't want us to go down this like, oh my God, it's so scary path. That's not what I was trying to do. It was just this like there, his words have value and have, and carry weight, whether we like him or not. And for him to go out and just say like, it's totally great and we're doing wonderful and we're no, we're not. And that's fucking ridiculous to say that in front of and to these healthcare workers that have bruises all over their faces from wearing the same PPEs all day long and can't stop to go to the bathroom in a 12-hour shift because they can't, you know, because they just don't have the extra PPEs to replace them after they do that kind of stuff. Like, it's bonkers to go out there and say business as usual because the economy is more important when people's family members are dying in the hospital because they're not allowed to have visitors and they're just by themselves. Like, it's just, it's insane to me.
Well, the reality is too, and everyone needs to kind of accept it, is that the majority of us are going to contract COVID-19 at some point. Absolutely. Probably 3 out of the 5 of us will have it. The idea is,
if we don't already have it.
But the idea is not to overwhelm the healthcare system. Right. Like, exactly. We're all going to get it. It's a cold. Like, it's a horrible, horrific, but it's a version of a cold. It's way worse than the average cold. But that's how easily it's transmitted. And we're all going to at some point get it. But you want to know that there's an open bed there for you if you reach the point of needing to be in the ICU. And if you look at it, if, you know, 70% of the population gets it and only 20% has to be in the ICU, you're talking about several million people that we don't have the space for. And if a ventilator means, do you want someone to choose between your grandparent and some 20-year-old that was just brought in off the street? I mean, No one wants to make that choice.
And that's what I think is so absolutely horrifying, is that people don't understand that. Like, they're like, I know I said last time that there is, you know, there's some medical professionals. I don't know how many, but I know one in particular in a very like rural town. And I can't say rural town in Indiana. That's like, you know, just Sleepy Hollow motherfucker bullshit town. That's like, it's just the common flu. No, it's not, motherfucker. It is not. It is all about the idea that you need to slow the infection rate. Like, that's the point. It's not a matter of if you get it. It's when. And let's hope that when is 10 months from now. Like, that's when I would like to get it, is 10 months from now. Maybe 12 months from now, or maybe not at all, but hopefully then. Like, so then I'm not trying to go into an emergency room where there's 600 other people with the same fucking thing going on. Like, it's all about the idea of slowing it down. And why don't people get that? They think, oh, well, you know, suicide kills just as many people. The common flu kills just as many. No. No, that's not what it's about. I get it. I get your numbers. I get everything you're saying. That's not it. It's the idea that you want to elongate the amount of time.
And the fact that something as easy as staying home can help.
Right.
Can help. Like, why is
no one gets that? No one with like a big of a brain gets it. They don't fucking get it.
Because in that video, they talk to you about, she talks about the number of people coming into the ER for non-COVID related illness and injury that basically have, you know, they've been in a car accident, they've been in a motorcycle accident, whatever, and they do x-rays and they come back and their lungs look like they have it.
I have to say, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Stacey, I'm sorry, but like Lincoln, we were sitting watching Tiger King last night and Lincoln was like jumping on the couch, and normally I have a very like approach of he needs to learn his own boundaries and like he has to get hurt sometimes in order to, you know, cause and effect, and like he has to have this healthy relationship with what can hurt me and what can't. Like, that is my approach to most of the things I allow him to do. Like, oh, he's climbing up this thing, when he falls, he won't do that again. I had an irrational approach that, like, I moved everything away because I'm like, if he falls and cracks his head open right now, is it more dangerous to take him to the emergency room? Do we call Christina and have her come over and try to, like I had all these, like, 150 things run through my head all at the same time of, we can't support him being super hurt right now. Not we can't support financially. Our system cannot support it right now. Right. So we need to completely eliminate all risk. And then I had to take a step back and be like, what the fuck? Because I am not prone to overreaction. I am very rational. I am very like, let's look at the numbers. Let's take in the data. Let's see how all of this is playing out. And let's take the most streamlined approach. And the thought of something happening to my son and there not being a way to help him because of all of the other things happening made me so uncomfortable. I can't even imagine what people are going through with if their family member gets in a car accident right now or falls and breaks a leg or has a heart attack or has a stroke or any number of things. Is it even more dangerous to take them to a place that had, like, all of these things go through your head? And then I think, then I don't have a wife or a husband or anything like that that's working in these centers every day dealing with these people and helping these. Like, it's just such a mishmash of just stay home.
There's so many people that don't have symptoms.
Right.
And you don't know. Are you going to be the person who doesn't have symptoms? Or are you going to be the person who's with the person who doesn't have symptoms, but it just happens to affect you way worse than it affects anybody else?
Well, and there's only so much risk you can mitigate, right? Like, we were talking about this the other day when we were discussing of should Lincoln even be going to daycare for 5 hours a day. Like, we could get COVID-19 from our mail. We could get it from, you know, stop. We have to get gas sometimes. Like, oh, I could pick up a box of cereal at the grocery store and pick it up. So there's only so much risk you can mitigate. Like, and we have to get out of the mindset that we can eliminate all of it because you cannot. You cannot. Right. But picking and choosing what matters to you. I'm sorry. Going and hanging on the beach at the weekend is not a necessity. It's mm-hmm. not. It's fucking
preach,
not.
Motherfucker.
Right. Preach. Going to Target every other day or whatever. Like, not. Unnecessary trips. Yeah.
Right. Is not. Now, going to the store and picking up supplies to survive. Of course. Of vodka. Course it is.
Like, I'm just saying vodka is very important, you guys.
But we're not good at, as humans, we're not good at risk analysis for the greater good. We're good at it for ourselves. And it's a hard, we're going to learn a lot from this. And I have a feeling we're going to look back in a year and say we should have done this differently. And that's good because this is not the last time a virus is going to sweep the world. It's just not.
No,
we were not. Even talking
every
the other day.
Every 100 years.
Oh, it's going to be more than that. As our population continues to grow, it's going to be more than that. We were talking the other day, like, what kind of world did we even bring a child into? Like, so many different things.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's Christ, shitty Jackie. Mom guilt thing.
Was it selfish of us because we wanted a child to even bring somebody into this fucked up world? Like, honestly.
But you didn't know that this was going to happen.
Oh, it was fucked up before we
no,
had
No, it's
him.
Other, like, other stuff in the world, though.
Yeah,
that mom guilt
climate
of
change?
I'm bringing a child into this world of hate and so many things.
I think that's the moment that you say, I have a hand in making it better.
But there's studies out there right now that say by the time Lincoln's our age, there won't be any fish in the ocean.
Right.
Like, that's the type of world we're talking about. Not just COVID-19.
I feel a lot of things are going to change after this thing, though. I really do. Like, yeah.
Two months of quarantine is not going to fix the planet.
I don't think it's going to fix the planet, but I think it's going to adjust the planet.
I think so, too.
I think there's a big difference.
I think we'll buy ourselves some time.
Fixing is going to eliminate all human population whatsoever. And I that's like a catastrophic, like, dinosaur meteor hitting the earth kind of a, yeah, that's fixing the planet. Adjusting the planet is what's happening. I truly 100% believe that. And I will go to my grave saying that, because I'm not saying that, like, my straw that I will use for probably, I know.
How dare you bring a plastic straw on this show? No, I'm just joking.
She didn't get my Christmas
gift. Let me tell you one thing. I used the straw probably 17 times, and we clean it with a cleaner. I know it's disgusting, but I don't care. I probably have the coronavirus. I don't. coronavirus. Like, I don't know. I don't know. But my whole thing is this, is that I truly think that, like, there's so much good that's happening to the environment right now. Like, there's no one on the beaches in Florida. Like, if you go on a beach in Florida, you will get arrested right now. Like,
yeah, they all went home from spring break patrolling.
Yeah, well, thank fucking God they're gone now. Get the fuck out of here, spring breakers, you motherfuckers. Like, it's so fucking fucked up, I'll tell you right now. But my whole thing is this, is like, I truly think that, like, beaches will recover. We'll start this, like, recovery process. I think that, like, the pollution in, like, especially in San Francisco, you guys have smog all the time.
Whoa, no, you're thinking of LA.
Yeah.
No, we don't. That's fog. We have fog.
Like, I'm just saying, like, fog things are going is to a weather be
No, you're wrong. NorCal and SoCal are two very different things. Listen, you hit a nerve. You hit a nerve is all we're saying. Listen, everyone.
How dare you?
The audacity.
Are we revoking your invitation? We're revoking your invitation.
Listen, you dick.
I already moved there. Surprise, I'm recording from Jackie's spare room.
Nope. No, she's not. I'm not taking responsibility for her now.
I break my quarantine
for 12 days. If Aaron was at your house, I would break my quarantine.
You'd break your quarantine to see Aaron, but not us.
That's serious. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. I really truly believe that the earth is going to sort of, like, reset in some areas. Like, not completely. Do not get me wrong. But, you know, it's interesting to me that we had all of these big, huge environmental discussions, and then this happened. You know, like, we had Greta, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, the bitch.
Greta Thunberg.
Yeah. So
oh,
she...
Oh, that one. I thought you were talking about a hurricane. I was like, oh. Well,
and Michael? Like, so we had these large, like we had Greta, like, come in, and she was like, listen... And we're like, okay, whatever. Like, there's a lot of people that said whatever, but there was a lot of people that listened and said, okay, she's got a lot of great information. And then we had this epidemic that turned into a pandemic that has been just devastating to the entire world. I just truly believe that everything happens for a reason, and this may be it. It may be it. It sucks, but it may be.
Oh. I 100% agree.
He's the reason for my heartache right there.
Why do you agree, Stace?
I just feel like it's like everybody talking about, you know, climate change. And if we don't do something now, like, there's no future for our kids or our kids' kids. And even, like, small businesses, like you were talking about how, like, this is going to change how, well, like, even your work, how you feel like everybody's so much more productive. They could implement 2 days a week that you work from home
and
because they see
smog,
so much,
yeah.
Right?
Right, and reduce smog because they see so much more, like, productivity. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like everything happens for a reason, and it's not like, oh, this is everybody needed to get sick and die. Like, that's a terrible thing, but at the same time, I feel like something positive can come out of this, and it's. The realization that if everybody did all these things, our climate would change, our world would change so drastically mm-hmm. for the better. Great. You know,
there's a man, and I wish I had written it down before, because I was talking to Aaron about this the other night when we were talking. He studies the kind of the patterns in American history and the 40-year patterns that take place, and we're about at the end of our 40-year pattern. And, like, two patterns ago, Franklin D. Roosevelt became the president. And after the president, you have kind of a referendum. And from the referendum, you have an idealist. And after the idealist, you have another referendum. And then you have the end. And that kind of restarts the pattern. And Franklin D. Roosevelt kind of, he started this whole community building aspect where we needed to look out for each other, and he created the social safety net and unemployment and Job Corps, and, like, he did all these things. And then at the end of his 40-year kind of reign of thinking, you're also talking about two generations, people who were in power at the time and then their children, so they have kind of the same mindset. And then after that came, the last 40 years have been dominated by the Reagan pattern, which has been heavily focused on individualism and selfishness and kind of the I'm out for my own kind of thing. And Trump's presidency actually marks the last one in this 40-year cycle. And this man has predicted, this doctor, I should say, he's an expert in this and has actually predicted every president in the last like 50 years, is saying that this next one we're going into, this next 40-year cycle, is that of the humanistic one, where we look at how we relate to each other and how we relate to the earth and how we relate to technology and how we can improve it. And I hope he's right. I hope he's right again. I hope this is the beginning. Trump was enough. And I'm not even saying that as like, I mean, whatever. I just mean that I hope he was enough of a wake-up call that people want something different. And we go into a new 40-year period where we are focused on how we relate to the planet and how we relate to each other and how we're treating the space that we all share. Because that is the only thing that is going to fix this clusterfuck that we have gotten, not even we've gotten ourselves into. None of us are old enough to have actually
ruined
it. But
I'm the oldest.
You are, but you had nothing to do with it.
I have nothing to do with it.
You had nothing to do with it. But hopefully this is the beginning of... I mean, you look at Generation Z, and yeah, they're all running amok right now around on beaches and stuff. But you look at, like, look at Stacey's daughter. Stacey's daughter no, not you.
Anything. She's
Piper will do nothing. But you look at kind of her mindset and how she looks at the world and art.
Piper's gonna save the world. Fuck off.
But you look at how multifaceted these kids are. They're not only smart, they appreciate art and music and like all of these things. They have a much more humanistic approach to life than, like, we were raised essentially by baby boomers who are like, work hard, it'll pay off, you'll be able to provide for your family. Where they're raised much more with the set of, no, we need to be concerned about everyone because we're all fucking this up. So you need to care about all of the things. And I think Generation Z, as rampant as they're running right now and being a bunch of dum-dums, I think they're Generation Z and then Generation Alpha, they're going to change things. I hope they change things because the millennials had their chance and we blew it. We blew it because we were too busy feuding with the boomers.
This is what I think about generations.
Millennials set it up. We took all the heat from the boomers long enough that they were able to be raised. Z and A will be able to be raised in an environment where you care about people.
Yeah.
It's not just about you.
But this is what sucks about generations, and this may be like a tangent, and really. So, like, my whole thing with generations is that, like, you have to pay for a whole fucking generation's fuck-ups as a generation, you know? Like, millennials, as an admissions counselor, I dealt with nothing but millennials. Like, it was crazy. And, like, I'm on the cusp. Like, I'm, like 81, you know what I mean? Like 80 could be considered a millennial, but also could be considered Gen X. Like, and I'm like, I don't know what I am because I want all the things quickly, but I also know I need hard work to get there, you know? So it's like this whole thing where you're like this constant, like, I think I'm just a fucking enigma, duh. But like, I just think like, so my whole thing with like generations is this. I think it's sad that we blame like a whole like
not all the boomers are bad.
Right. Like they all are.
No, they're not all bad.
Let's be real. I mean, like 95%. I think 5% of boomers that are like,
no bullshit. I would say 85% are out of touch and unreachable.
Okay. I'll give you 85, Jackie. I'll give you 85 because I'm feeling generous tonight.
Deal.
I don't. No, don't give them to me. I don't want them.
I'm gonna give them all to you. Take them. You keep on your island. No, but like my whole thing is this: is that it's sad that we blame like generational things on generations, and I know that sounds really like stupid because I'm probably tipsy, but also
probably
because like it's, but because like. There are so many things that go into why you are this in this generational conglomerate. Like, you are this way because of your parents, because of the way you were brought up, because of the way you had to fight for what you had, you know, XYZ, whatever. But like, what is so funny to me is that millennials in general, I will never forget learning about millennials when I first got into admissions. It was this whole thing of like, they want everything right now, right now. And if they don't get it, fuck it. They don't want it. They don't want it. So you know what? They didn't get coronavirus right now, right now. They didn't get it. So they don't fucking need it. They don't have it. They're fine. They're going to be fine. They're just going to walk around this fucking beach in Miami and be like, you know what? If I get coronavirus, I get coronavirus as long as I get to get my
That's
spring
not
break.
The millennials.
Bad. That's not millennials.
You want Generation Z.
We're millennials.
Oh, yeah. Aaron, we're millennials. Yeah. It feels like we're running around on a beach right now.
Look at how pale I am. I haven't been on no goddamn beach.
The sun.
I'm going to tell you guys I'm tipsy.
You want Z.
Breaking news.
Breaking Gen news. Z is the asshole.
There you go.
Gen Z. I love millennials. You guys want everything right now, which is including a test.
Right now, we want everyone to stay home.
Yeah.
Right now.
The oldest millennials are 39. The youngest are 24. So some of them may be running around the beach, but the majority of them are Gen Z.
There's a debate, though, that if I this has nothing to fucking do with. Never mind.
Okay.
Okay. What's millennials everyone... are big on finding purpose. That's a big thing for millennials is they have to find their purpose. They can't just work to get a paycheck. They need to find purpose in their reason for the money that they make.
There's
so
nothing wrong with
that's
that.
That's a huge difference.
And I think we all agree. I need purpose in what I do.
Yeah, I agree now.
What's everyone obsessed with this week? Stays
two, but they're very quick. Number one is I cleaned my office library today and I found this letter from my kids that's super cute. It says, "Dear Mr. Easter Bunny, my mom has to work on Easter. Can you please come to our house a day early? Thank you. Love, Lex and Kira." And I just like had this moment of like thankful that I could be a stay-at-home mom because I haven't always been a stay-at-home mom. I worked up until we moved to the country. So I've only been a stay-at-home mom for the last almost four years. It'll be 4 years in August. So I was just like, holy shit, I'm so thankful that I can now be at all of their, you know, sports games, their back-to-school nights, their plays, their whatever, because we always worked opposites. My husband worked during the day and I worked at night so that we could not have to pay for daycare, whatever. So I just had this like overwhelmingly like, thank goodness that I can be a stay-at-home mom right now and get to like really genuinely experience my kids. And then the second one is I'm obsessed with Quarantine Jean, obviously, because her videos, I look forward to her videos on her Facebook page because they're so funny. She's doing like songs and, you know, what she's doing that day. And
bingo,
if you're not friends with her, bingo today. If you're not friends with her, you need to go at least check it out because I think her page is probably public. Because it had like her song had like 200 shares, so I assume it's probably public. And it had like I don't even like thousands of views.
Yeah.
So anybody listening, go to Jean's page and check out her like updates for the last few days because she's hilarious.
It's just Jeannie Copeland.
Jean is so fucking funny. If you're not following Jean, you're missing out. That's on you.
Mm-hmm. Oh wait, I'm sorry. It's Jean.Copeland. .7393
Oh, jeez.
We gotta help her.
Just go to the weekly wind down page. You'll find her on there. Yeah.
I'm disappointed in that tag. That handle.
Stacey, what are you obsessed with?
Oh my gosh, that was so funny. I was obsessed with Tiger King, but we talked about that a lot. So, what else am I obsessed with? I keep finding
your
these.
I'm obsessed with your hair.
Thanks. My hair. Thank you. Yeah. I keep finding these weird, like, reality shows on YouTube. They just keep showing up. So I started watching My Dream Quinceañera.
Oh, no.
So, I know. I have to fast forward through the
what was the one that you watched?
Which one?
And we made so much fun of it. It was like my dream Amish vacation or something like something fucked up.
I've watched.
Oh, I gotta watch that.
Kim of Queens, the beauty pageant one, and then Sisterhood. Oh, that's the one. There were only two episodes that I saw, but it's called Sisterhood, and it's about these like young women that want to become nuns.
That's not it.
Oh. I shit you not.
One.
Oh, the like young and engaged or like that. Shit show. No, this Sisterhood one, I'm not even kidding. This girl said, and I know this is verbatim because I practiced my little voice here. My impression is spot on. They refer to themselves as the Brides of Christ, which that is not a thing I've ever heard of. Right. And I already was like, oh, the bride? Okay, that seems weird. And she said multiple times stuff like, you know, I just think of Jesus like my husband, and I want to talk to Jesus like he's my husband. And then she said that he came to her in a dream one night, and he was like flirting with me. And I was like, okay, Jesus.
What the fuck?
I am so confused by all of that.
I mean, technically, they're going to have a ring from Jesus.
I was so confused when she said, okay, Jesus. And I was like, ugh.
We need to do a Facebook live stream once and air our video so everyone can see Stacey's face when she does these things.
Whenever she imitates anybody that says, okay, Jesus.
Keep it in your pants. God.
I know. I was like, I was so confused by it. But there were only two episodes of that. And then so I started watching my dream quinceañera. Man.
I got some big dreams there in Mexico.
Put it on the
big
list.
Big dresses. Big dresses. Let me tell you.
Big dreams, big dresses. That's what they should have called it.
Aaron, that would have been a better name.
Oh, Aaron, you got it. Big dreams, big dresses.
Big dreams, big dresses.
That's Aaron's next book.
Don't judge. It will be. God damn.
Aaron, what are you obsessed with?
So I have been...
My hair.
I've been obsessed with Stacey's hair. It's beautiful. I mean, for real, though. It's
Thank you.
I'm obsessed with this little nugget of love. His name is Lincoln.
Those that can't see, my son just showed up.
And he's got an Oreo. Is that an Oreo?
It's an Oreo thin.
Oh,
it's cracker.
It's cracker.
I'm going to double stuff, but whatever.
Tell Ben.
You're not bringing it to me.
The big old debate.
Oh, the great Oreo debate.
The great Oreo debate.
Hi, Lincoln.
Hi.
What's up, buddy?
I love how he calls us Stacy. Stacy. Stacy.
What are you obsessed with, Aaron?
Me?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Are we going with Stacy's hair?
Lincoln, I love you.
No, you've lost her.
You put a baby in front of her.
Me?
Yeah, what are you obsessed with?
Oh, me. So I'm obsessed with... So my latest book, which comes out May 1, like recently, like I got the whatever for it, the ebook, and it should be on NetGalley soon. So I've been like obsessively thinking about like, what are the reviews going to be? It's been bad. Did he just say Stacy?
Yeah.
Say Aaron. Oh, he can't hear me. Mm-mm. Yeah. Jackie, tell him to say Aaron. Come on.
Who's that? Who is that?
Is it me? I don't even know.
All right. What are you obsessed with?
So, again, technology. I didn't know it was so cool until today. I'm obsessed with learning how to make YouTube videos and making people better by somehow using technology while staying socially distant and in shelter in place. So I'm just really proud of myself, let's be honest. Like, I didn't think I was ever going to learn this stuff, and I did.
Neither did we.
We're all obsessed with you. We're all obsessed with you, Bueno.
Oh, Aaron, I'm obsessed with you.
I wanted that my whole life.
Aaron, when's your book coming out, and can we get it on audio anytime soon?
No, May 1st, and I don't know when audio will be because...
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll order your book. I need to read one of your books. Which one do you recommend the most?
My latest, Create a Life to Love, was a finalist for a Lammy Award.
Ooh. Which is
the highest honor you could get as a lesbian or a LGBTQ author. I've got two finalists now.
Hell yeah. Look, even
you don't want any, like, drama, Create a Life to Love.
Okay, I like love. No, I'm big on romance.
Create a Life to Love, do it. Although, Breaking Bad or Watch is really good too.
Lex is like, I think Lex is a bigger fan of Aaron's books than she is of mine. So, there's that.
Not because Jackie's not as good of a writer. She's better than me. She's way better. She's way better than me.
Stacey's right there. Hang on. We got to finish recording and then you talk to them.
He's gonna be on here soon and be like, well, I think Trump is a fucking idiot.
How many moms do you have? How many 18. Moms do you have? Oh, you just distracted him with a cookie. So something I have fallen into watching, which I never thought I would watch, but I do not regret it for one instant, is Outlander.
I like it for different reasons, but
I'm sure
the floppy dicks, Stacey, the floppy
dicks. Floppy dicks. I am obsessed with Outlander. The story, it took me about, so the first four episodes I was like, oh god, this is painfully slow, which I was not a fan of, but once the story actually really kicks off, it is excellent. And stop it. Lex doesn't like those kinds of shows, so I like find myself waiting for her to go to bed so I can catch another episode, and I'm like forcing myself to stay awake to watch them. It is so good. It's so good.
Is this something I would like?
If you don't mind, it takes a while to get used to the British and Scottish accents of it.
That's
and
fine.
Once you can understand those, the
plot... I watch everything with subtitles.
I'm okay, so the plot line of it is outstanding. It's just, this isn't normally my type of show, but it is so well acted and the storyline is so well developed. It is fantastic. Like, I can't recommend it enough. And I know I'm like three seasons behind. There's four out already, like whatever. But when my mom was here, she told me that she was hooked on it. We have very similar taste in like drama television. And it is so good that, like, I find myself in the morning being like, I can't wait till tonight when I can watch an episode of Outlander. And it's actually kind of good that Lex doesn't like it because it's forced me to watch it slowly. So I haven't, like, been able to binge it. So I'm watching, like, one or two episodes a night, but I can't recommend it enough. So.
Bueno, I highly recommend.
What's it on?
What do you highly recommend?
Netflix. It's on Netflix.
Netflix? Okay, cool.
Is it Netflix? No, I have to watch the originals first, which was recommended by Jackie.
Same. Watch the originals first.
He's also recommending Outlander, and the guy on it is...
Jackie, can I watch Outlander? Hot.
You can watch Outlander first. Yeah, it is very good. It's very, very good.
It's amazing.
Give it a chance. Don't judge it by its first, like, few episodes. Get through them, and... I don't think I've seen a show in a long time that's been so well acted. So it's very,
they have
it's very
such
good.
Good chemistry.
Oh my god, Jamie, like, and her? Jesus.
I like, there's sometimes when I'm watching it and I'm like, should I leave?
It's so true though. It's so intense and like intimate. And you know, I'm not one to be like, oh, straight sex, this is great. But it is, it's almost beautiful how much they care about each other. It's very, very good. It's very good. Like, even, I don't, Well, there's a lot of sex in the show. So usually that annoys me with straight people. Because I'm like, we get it.
You're going to put your penis in her vagina.
But there's always a reason for it in this show. Because it's a huge part of how she connects with people. So it's intricate to her character, which I don't like sex scenes for no reason. There has to be, don't just throw them in there. There has to be a reason to move the plot forward, and they do in this show. So And she's super hot. He's super hot.
They're like, both hot.
They're both hot.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, hot.
Hot. Hot.
He fucking figured out how to put that in here. He like unplugged the headphones and plugged it back in. He's a, he's very, very. Did I say what I was obsessed with yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone's drinks good?
No, mine was terrible. I had like two sips and I'm going to pour it out.
Mine was awesome. No.
Hey, how hard is it to make a mimosa where you decide to like just get a can instead of getting orange juice and champagne?
No, I didn't. My boss found them and thought they were funny and told me I should try it.
But it was a very bad idea and you should have just did champagne and
mimosa. Oh, gross.
I'm sorry. My drink is good.
I'm not too lazy to make a mimosa, trust me.
It's not hard.
All right, everybody. Stay safe. Stay inside. Bye. Don't be a dick.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
He can't hear you guys.
Oh, my gosh. He's so cute. All
right. Have a good weekend, everyone. Bye.
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 You want to say bye? Say bye.
Bye.